Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Do you have a group chat where you continuously talk about summer getaways but never actually go anywhere? With Priceline, you can save up to 60% on your favorite hotels and also get amazing deals on rental cars and flights. And you can do it all from your phone. So stop texting and start planning. It's time to get more out of your summer. And you know, when you save more, you can do more. More adventures with friends, more unbelievable views, more walks on the beach, more unforgettable moments. Priceline knows every trip is a big deal. So tell your friends you found a great deal on the Priceline app and take your plans out of the chat and onto the road. So remember, when you're ready to book your next trip, check out Priceline.com for the easiest way for you to get more out of your next summer getaway.
Welcome back to the Blue Room. It's your post-match for Everton 1, Chelsea 0. To say it's a much-needed win for Everton is understatement of the season. We're here in the Denby Castle, Les Roberts, Matt Flusk, and with a Scotch tongue that he has that has to be used, as he's just quoted, Keith Tomlin. So over to you first of all, Keith. There'll be so much that we reflect on from a gameplay and an actual football match point of view, but for me, getting to the ground and coming away from it this afternoon, everything today was about Goodison Park and what it is as an entity. I mean, we can break down things that happened between footballers and the football match in general, but from an emotive point of view and what that clearly meant to every single person in the stadium today, that was absolutely special, wasn't it?
So many things to reflect on today. Like, I mean, starting off from Everton fans crowning a new pope, as seen from Seacombe.
The Goodison dog.
The Goodison Road dog being held aloft like an Egyptian god. Just everything in the ground today as well. The atmosphere from the first minute, even when it didn't come off, it was positive. It was encouragement for the players. You saw the players respond to that. Mina, Iwobi, Mikulenko especially acknowledged the crowd. Yeah. Damari Gray did it as well. A big thing for me is it felt a lot to me like a lot of momentum shifted away from Everton yesterday when Burnley got those two late goals, because we were almost starting to think they were back in it, and then all of a sudden we're 5 points behind both, albeit with games in hand, but looks like a mountain to climb.
Yeah.
And it feels today to me like we just grabbed the momentum and swung it right back in the other direction.
Yeah.
And now everything's going with Everton. And it is very much, winning today means it's still in Everton's hands. But Everton control their own destiny this season. And that's a massive thing for me. If it had slipped away and we were relying on favours from other teams, I think that's it done. As it is now, it's still very much on the line. But it's a much better position to be coming at it from.
Lads, you've been blessed to see, you know, far happier times than Everton and then some unbelievably special nights at Goodison Park. But certainly for my money, that's up there with just quintessential Everton, isn't it? If you could bottle what Goodison Park has to look like every single match day, not only this season, but I think going forward and what we have to take to Bramley Moor, that's the blueprint for what Everton weekends are about, isn't it?
Yeah, when you're down like that and you need to win for your survival, there's no atmosphere like it. It's different up the top. I know not many people will have experienced that.
Yeah.
But it is different up the top. It's a different kind of pressure, and it's not that visceral. It feels like when you're winning stuff, it's a kind of a nice to have. This is like pure survival. This shapes the cup for the next decade. Winning a trophy or a title doesn't necessarily do that. If you don't win it, it's not the end of the world. It feels like at the time, but it isn't. Relegation, that just sets the tone and everything for the club for the next decade. So it was good to see everyone getting that backs to the wall. It's the world against us. I think the press has helped in the week as well.
Yeah.
As you know, I remember like back in 94 and 98. 98 was a slightly different atmosphere, but 94 certainly, there was very much it was us against the world, and everyone came together for it. And I was worried this season that the fan base was so fractured that we weren't necessarily going to get that, but everyone has pulled together, and that was incredible today. And you can say, like, you know, everyone got the pyro out, the flags out, the atmosphere was brilliant. You know, why don't you do that all the time? When you're finishing 10th, 8th, 12th, you can't get behind the team like that. There's nothing to get up for.
It almost needs to, I mean, we don't want it to mean survival in the way that you're talking about it, but if this season has given us anything, it's purpose. Yeah. And I think we've spoken for so many years about how pointless and boring this football team can be for massive periods of our life, and you know, none of us want this to be the start or the reason of unity, but you've just got to kind of go with all the positives that you possibly can. And I think that the one major positive for me at the moment is that going to Goodison Park is an enjoyable experience. And for so long, we've been debatably a better football team than we are right now.
Yeah.
But it hasn't been anywhere near as enjoyable. And I know that we can say, you know, this is only a very recent thing, and it's easy to say these things on the back of a very important 1-0 win against the European champions. But it at least has that feeling about it, doesn't it? Of it means something. And I think that the reason it was so on the edge, I think, today, and it kind of took the edge off the pregame for me, was the fact that Burnley got that result last night. And I think it kind of went from that thing with Chelsea about it being not necessarily a free hit, but the pressure was absolutely there today. And Matt, on that, I know it's easier to say this now at the end of the 97 minutes, the 7, which we'll come back to, but was that must win today? I know it's easy to say that now, but was a point anywhere near good enough, or did we absolutely have to push like we did?
I suppose it was a must win, but it's a bit difficult for me to like see it in hindsight as a must win, because I thought we were going to win.
Yeah.
In the build up to the game, during the game, like all week I've been saying to everyone, like, yeah, of course we're going to beat Chelsea. It's the games against the likes of Palace and Brentford that we're a bit more sketchy on.
Yeah.
But like, just like the United game, I thought we'd beat them as well. Like,
yeah.
We're quite a sort of a big game side at the moment. I mean, how many points this season have come against like top six or top seven, whatever you want to call it?
Yeah. Off the top of our heads, what, Chelsea, United, Arsenal? They've come here, none of them have scored a goal, and it's honestly looked like a cancer at times for Everton. Yeah. You know, everything bonkers about this football club, most of it that we've seen today and already mentioned, but the fact that we're able to do the things that we have done and not do the things that we all expect us to do is unfortunately the reason why we still sit in 18th place.
And in the Manchester game as well, you could put a sticky paper between them two teams, but for a terrible refereeing decision, we had a point there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's the other games that I'm worried about more than this one. Like, I always thought we were going to win today, but it is still obviously a massive, massive 3 points just for the psychology of it all. Like, with the Burnley result yesterday, I didn't expect Watford to get anything from Burnley, and the fact that they held out so long was surprising. And when Burnley did get those 2 goals, I didn't have a meltdown like a lot of people, because I kind of expected it to happen. But we keep an eye on Leeds, obviously. We need to stay in touch. I've looked at it between now and the end of the season, and it's like, it's not tilted one way or the other. It's very much back and forth in terms of who plays first.
Yeah.
And the one that really does jangle my nerves is, I think we kick off against Palace 15 minutes before Burnley do. And like that's the game that we do need to seal it. We do need to make sure after that we are.
It's going
to
be some of those nervous phone checking moments in England, isn't there?
Little radios in the ear.
Yeah, to channel the 90s properly, we need to do that. But I think there were so many reasons why that was such a good result today. You know, obviously the 3 points as Blue Moon comes on in the background, because we're all closet City fans, obviously. But obviously not only the 3 points that it gave for Everton today, I think on the back of a disappointing defeat for Leeds, even on the back of Burnley's win, that everyone looks at us today and thinks, oh, they're not dead yet. And I think, you know, even from a Chelsea point of view, who we now afford them the necessity to go to Welland Road and get a result, even every little part of that was just perfect. From a gameplay point of view, I thought the first half was absolutely what we needed to see. You know, we kept Chelsea's chances to a minimum. We created average chances ourselves, albeit we all thought that the second half the onslaught would come. I think if anything, Les, it probably just come a little bit too soon for me. We are capable, ironically, of riding out, you know, getting clean sheets against big sides. And if anything, when we scored on, what was it, 46, 47, I didn't like the way that Everton handled the next 10 minutes after the goal. Because certainly from our position in the park end, it felt as though we were just sucking the gameplay into that net, didn't it? We were inviting Chelsea onto us, and there was a little bit of that feeling of the inevitable of at some point the quality players there will eventually craft something that's too good to miss at. But we'll come on to the lad who was in between the sticks. But I think the back four today, we've spoken long and hard about not only Mason Holgate and Michael Keane in terms of the negatives that they have to their game, and we all know that we've seen plenty of them this season, but Yerry Mina in the middle of that defence, not only from a footballing point of view, but I think just mentally dominating Kai Havertz in every situation. He is the man that we need on the football pitch at the moment, isn't he?
He is, and I was actually amazed that he made it to the end of that game, because I think he went down about two or three times feeling his hamstrings, and I thought he's going off at some point here. But he lasted the game, and you know, we sort of raised eyebrows when he wasn't playing in the derby. But I think Lampard's played that well, you know, because we might not get the next game out of Mina, but then we might get the one after.
Yeah.
And I think that's how we're going to have to play. But as you say, yeah, he's unreal at the back there. He tethered Kai Havertz today. He just gets in people's faces, he does people's heads in, and it looks like he gets on really well with Jordan Pickford.
Yeah.
Because every time Pickford was doing his little time wasted thing, Mina was there straight away. So I don't know what he was saying, keep it up or whatever, but the two of them were properly seeing the game out and doing everyone's head in. So from a Chelsea perspective, you're looking at that, and he's not been able to break the team down. The team's time wasted, it just gets frustrating. And you know, Pickford made a really good save right at the end, when he went down low to his right.
From Kovacic,
and tipped it round. Yeah. But he didn't really fashion too many chances. We kind of did keep him around, and as you said, we did drop deep after we scored.
Yeah,
and he did feel like maybe we've gone a bit too early.
Yeah.
I thought we rode it out. Well, Rondon, when he came on, he did everything that was needed of him.
Yeah.
He chased the ball down, he kept it in the corner where he had to. I just thought, again, a bit like Man United, it was just that second half was a very professional display of how to see a game out. And
which is not very Everton at all.
It's not at all,
though,
no, but I think, you know, what was our possession stats today? 27%.
Oh God, that's even better than the one goal to none, really, isn't it? But Keith, I mean, obviously we've spoken about Yerry Mina. In terms of individuals, you know, I think to a man, you could almost, apart from, I don't know, Gray and Gordon, you're never really going to see the best of those in those style of games, but pretty much everyone had their best performance for Everton, debatably. And I think one of the people who has come back into the fold in recent weeks and very luckily for us has come back very strongly and very quickly is Abdoulaye Doucouré. In that midfield today, I think, you know, it was always going to be, well, we thought it was going to be Iwobi, Doucouré and someone else in that midfield, and obviously Alex Iwobi was asked to play a very different role at right wing back, and I thought he did really well in doing it. But Abdoulaye Doucouré in particular in the first half, he was just absolutely everywhere, wasn't he?
He came back onto a game today massively, and it was a huge time to do it as well, because a lot of what Chelsea did was they tried to come through the middle, and he broke play up, certainly in the first half, not so much like second half they came on a bit more, but first half everything that tried to come through the middle, either him or Delph, broke the play up.
Yeah.
And I think the pair of them had a very good game. Not just at breaking the play up, but also holding possession. Rather than just getting the ball and kicking it back to Chelsea, they held the ball up. They got runners coming on from defence, or they spread it out to Gray or Gordon, and they were able to take the pressure off for even just like a couple of minutes when Chelsea had a lot of the ball. Even just a couple of minutes, they got the ball down in the channels, in the corners, get us out of our own half, and it makes a massive difference. The back four, the whole back four today, to a man, were outstanding.
Yeah.
Like, I think if you were giving marks out of 10, there's not one of them that's lower than an 8 today.
No.
They were brilliant. And the difference that Yerry Mina makes, if that man wasn't made of biscuits, we'd be mid-table, pushing for Europe, possibly.
Every time he goes down, there is that kind of
big,
big shoulder tension.
He went down and I thought, oh God, this is, oh, Arsenal have just scored. I thought when he went down, I panicked a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of it was gamesmanship.
Yeah, yeah. I think you can, I mean, we've seen enough, luckily, of Yerry Mina getting injured now when we're all experts at knowing when he's injured, aren't we?
There's a lovely video during the rounds as well of a moment where he absolutely shithouses a yellow card for Kai Havertz.
Yeah.
In that, like, Havertz sort of motions towards Pickford after he's got the ball. Mina goes up to him and, like, fakes to throw a head at him, but stops 6 inches short. Havertz reacts and pushes him, and Mina does the most theatrical comedy fall to the ground, which ensures that Havertz has to get a booking. And I'm all here for that level of gamesmanship.
Yeah.
Because one, it takes the sting out of the game. Two, it puts an opposition player on a yellow card. And three, it gets in the heads as a team that, like, if you're just clever about it, you can control the game. You can control the phase of play, what's going on. And that he brings a level of experience to the defence that none of the other centre-halves have got.
Yeah. You can't help but watch Yerry Mina now and think, if we'd had him for an extra 6 or 7 games this season, we absolutely wouldn't be living the lives that we all are at the moment.
We wouldn't be in the discussion. If Yerry Mina could stay fit for a season, we'd be in that conversation around 5th, 6th place, genuinely.
I think that's a bit of a reach.
Look at the teams that are around there. Wolves, Leicester, Villa, they're all crap.
Yeah, and it's
Spurs, they're all beatable teams.
So frustrating to watching Everton today, that, you know, on paper, I think that's probably the team that every other football fan in the country has looked at this season and thought, why are they there?
Why are they, And why we're there is, like, mentality and game set up for the first 5-6 months of the season.
Well, Matt, one of the names that other fans will look at and think, how are they there with players like this, is Richarlison. We've consistently talked this year about, I think him and Anthony Gordon have been the ones who have epitomised anything that has been positive about this team. But we talk about people like Yerry Mina literally putting their entire bodies on the line for this team, but that guy is surely one of the most horrible football players to play against as an opposition player. He just makes defenders' lives a nightmare, doesn't he?
Absolutely, yeah. It's wonderful to watch. I don't think he had the best game of his, obviously, season today, because he was dragged wide a lot, and it's one of them games, I would say, like, where he's done... It's hard to put it into words, which I know is not great for a podcast, but he has these games where he's doing so much and he's playing so many different roles and he's dragging the team forward, but he doesn't always get the reward of the goal. Obviously today he did, and I'm made up for him that he did, because, like, on any other day he probably would have, you know, gone off on 80 minutes and got a standard ovation and probably thought, oh, I should have scored or whatever, but I'm so made up he got that goal, because he plays so many different roles, especially when he's on his own, when he doesn't have Calvert-Lewin, and it's such a thankless task, and he could very easily just throw a strop or, you know, just jog around and stuff, but he is given absolutely everything for this club, and I can't believe it from a player that is, you know, probably destined to have a big money move in the next 2 seasons at the very most.
But one thing about Richarlison today is, what the hell was he thinking with that flair?
Well, the two points I was going to make is that, to touch on your first point, he is the most unbelievably selfless attacking footballer I've ever seen. You know, from everything, I mean, he essentially creates his own goal by blocking a clearance. Even in the first half, when he chases down Antonio Rudiger in the corner, everything about him is geared towards the words that we hear from him off the pitch. You know, I'm not going to let this happen, is basically his mentality to Everton's prize at the moment. But as you say, when Richarlison scores the goal, and obviously given everything that happened pre-game today, there was quite a lot of pyrotechnics inside Goodison Park, and they were all seen in the aftermath of the goal. But for Richarlison to pick one of those up, give it a big fist bump to the Gladys, and then lash one of the smoke bombs back into the main stand, Kevin Friend goes over to him and thinks, well, there probably is a rule for this, but I don't know what it is, so just try not to do that again if you do score again. But I think, you know, we've spoken about many individuals here, but the one man that we have to talk about today is Jordan Pickford. You know, the opportunity that I think it's Mason Mount has that hits both posts.
Sorry, I didn't wind you back. They took on the pyro back.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
bounces off the electrical boxes at the side of the
in the corner
and lands in the disabled section.
Oh, God. Everything about it is just, you know, we're all excited here, but please try not to do anything too mental.
I'm just right above it. I'm right on that. I'm in GS1. I'm right above it. And everyone's like, everyone's went, fucking hell. Whoa! Like, take it easy, Richie.
there is fortunately no take it easy with that guy, and you know that's played very much into our hands today.
10 out of 10 photo. So.
Well, some of the pictures before, during, and after the game have just been absolutely fantastic. But Les, we were just going on to talk about, you know, an individual over recent seasons has gained many critics, not only within the club, but from pretty much every football fan in the country. And I think quietly, Everton fans have known that this lad was coming into the absolute best form of probably his career. We've been blessed in recent times, so, you know, I talk relatively recent, over the last couple of decades, and seeing people like Nigel Martin, obviously going back a bit further, Neville Southall as being top level goalkeepers. Jordan Pickford today, you know, you can talk about his entire performance, but that is debatably one of the greatest saves I've ever seen an Everton goalkeeper make. It comes on the back of one of the greatest pieces of good fortune that we've ever seen, and the ball hitting both posts and then bouncing out. But this lad is just in the form of his life at the moment, isn't he?
He is. I've seen on Twitter like some stats flying around about his 1v1 stats, and it's like, he's not that good, is he? Because I think he's down the bottom of this 1v1 table, and it's like, anyone who watches him, I don't care about the stats, anyone who watches him knows he is a good keeper. And as you say, coming into the absolute pinnacle of his career, he's getting to his peak. He's unbelievable. That save from when it hit, as you say, the unbelievable good luck when it hit both posts.
Was it James it comes back out to?
I think it was, he absolutely leathered it on the angle of the 6-yard box for him to get up and just pour it round the post.
Whilst also keeping it on the right side of the goal line. I think, you know, for me and you in the Park End, we're all looking at Kevin Friend, aren't we? Just waiting for him to look at the watch and point to the centre spot. But even, you know, it was in a crazy 60 seconds where very shortly after he gets one right in the face and keeps it out. And, you know, again, we're coming back to that line of Everton players putting their body on the line for the football club, but no one did it more than him today.
No, and I think that's something we've seen in the last few games, really. The players look, I mean, I don't know if they've maybe drifted through this season thinking, like, you go back to the Mason Holgate interview where he was a bit blasé about relegation.
Yeah.
It kind of feels like it's all sort of suddenly hit them really hard, so now they're given absolutely everything. And I think Alex Iwobi said something the week about, it was nice to sort of get the appreciation from the crowd, and the penny dropped, and all he's got to do is give him 100%. We don't care if you make mistakes, just like mean it, you want to give everything to this club, and that's all. It sounds like a cliche, but that is all we want. We will forgive a lot of things so long as players won the gloves off. And I think, like, we saw that today, because there was a Coleman who went down injured in that as well.
Pickford
in the face.
Mikalenko.
But that was from the corner from that save, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So it was a mad little sequence of events, but it kind of encapsulated everything about this, the way this current Everton team is playing. People are sort of saying about Frank Lampard, has he done a particularly good job? I think if he comes in the start of January, we're not in this position now.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's taken him, what, 6 weeks to probably figure out what he can do with the team, who he can trust, where he can trust them. I think now we're sort of getting to a level, particularly at home, where things are kind of clicking and he kind of knows how his team can play. So I think he's doing a pretty good job under really pretty tough circumstances, because it was a terrible job to come into. I'm more than happy with them. I'm happy with the team we're playing. That's all we want, isn't it? We want to see them put the bodies on the line. Don't care about possession stats. Don't care about passing it round the back. Just give performances like that, and that's what gets the crowd up as well.
Less possession, the better, from my point of view.
Yeah, just on Lampard, I thought... let's just listen to this.
We may have to take a break here. So I think the Everton team are about to come out, but just before they do, Matt, carry on.
John Lampard, like, I think he caught me by surprise, and he probably caught Chelsea by surprise today with his like sort of pseudo three at the back. We saw that lineup today, we thought flat 4-4-2.
Yeah,
all of a sudden, Alex Iwobi's underneath me, and he's playing right wing back, and I was a bit unconvinced in the first half, but he played the blinder, didn't he?
Yeah, absolutely,
He just pinned them back the whole game, and it probably, similar to Richarlison, it was not the best position for Iwobi at the moment to show us what he's got, but he did the job very manfully, very selflessly, and he was fantastic.
I think we've spoken about two things this season. The main one for me has been the likability of the players. I didn't expect to be sitting here on the 1st of May saying this, but Alex Iwobi has catapulted himself to the top of that list, because he's very quickly become the man that Frank Lampard looks to from a trusting point of view to say, I need a job doing today. I don't necessarily have the man to do it, so I'm coming to you. We've asked him to do that as a kind of an eight role in the midfield. You know, looking at what 3-1 in the middle with Chelsea at home, he's probably the first one on the team sheet at the moment as being the man you need in midfield. And when I saw him at right wing back, I was a little bit nervous about not having him in the midfield, and I think that's a massive testament to what he's become over the last few weeks. But Keith, I think the job that, you know, both fullbacks, I think Mikhailenko just grows and grows week on week, but in particular Alex Iwobi today, it was the type of disciplined and professional performance that I quite honestly didn't think he had in him 6 months ago.
100%. Back in the summer, I was baying for blood. I wanted him gone. He was probably... We'll just keep talking here, just in case it's still recording. It might be. Oh, we're still going. Bit of a technical hitch there. Apologies to our listeners. Stick with us, we're golden. Back in the summer, I was baying for blood. He was the first one I wanted out the door. Because he just looked helpless.
Yeah.
But let's be honest, even under Benitez, he was one of very few players that put a shift in every game. Even when he never necessarily had a good game, but the one thing you can't ever accuse him of is going missing or not putting the effort in. And he runs his legs off every game, and he deserves credit for that. And it's a thing with Everton, with the Everton crowd as well, is the more effort you put in, the more you'll get back out of the fans. And he's discovered that this season.
Yeah.
And Lampard sort of found this position for him on that right side of the midfield three. Like you say, today he was more of a wing back, he was like doubling up. And the reception he got today was everything he deserved.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's been fantastic. And I've said this in the group chat, and I'll say it on the podcast now so there's no backing out of it. If Everton stay up this season, I'll get an Alex Iwobi tattoo.
Well,
no wonder will I.
This is recorded.
I already know what I'm having done if it happens. So stay tuned for pictures if Everton do actually squeeze their way out of this. Even if they go down, I might get it done anyway because it'll look pretty cool. And I've got a lot of tattoos that need covering up. I'm going to start covering this up.
Fantastic.
So,
but I mean, on a day for bold statements, I think you've absolutely took the biscuit there, mate. So
I love a bold statement. You know me, and I'll stand by my statements as well.
He's the personification, isn't he, of the kind of the synergy between the players and the fans at the moment.
100%. And I was so pleased today that, like, for most of the game, he runs around and he gets a load of applause. Towards the end of the game today, his effort was recognised, and the whole ground was singing his name.
Yeah.
Didn't do anything special. All he did was chase down a pass.
Yeah.
Chase down the Chelsea winger, stood him up, put a tackle in, and then hacked it clear.
Yeah.
Right? But the
basic stuff.
He ran 30 yards to do it.
Yeah.
And afterwards, you could see the look on his face when he got that reaction from the crowd. And he's properly warming. Like, the crowd are warming to him. Yeah. And the more it happens, the better performances you'll get from him. Is he going to win you games? No. But he's going to stop you losing them.
Yeah.
And that is a massive thing in this squad. And in this situation we're in, if he's the difference between a cross coming in that costs us an equaliser or not. And I'm all for it. He's proved me massively wrong, and I'll put my hands up and say so as well.
Absolutely. I mean, we've seen it from other Everton players in, you know, the last couple of seasons, I would say, that they've been keen to champion Alex Iwobi whenever the opportunity arises. Whenever he's had a 6 or 7 out of 10 game, we've seen players dragging him over to the away fans and pointing at him and saying, give this lad the credit he deserves. And I think, you know, it's understanding from a football fan point of view, and that we're only going to reciprocate when players start to give us something to feed off. And he is the one that has absolutely done that in recent weeks. And Les, I'll come to you finally. I mean, we're obviously all very buoyant at the moment, but to add an element of realism to this, this only really means something if we're able to compound it with results against lesser sides. I mean, you know, that has been Everton's Achilles heel for way too long, but with Watford, you know, a disillusioned lesser side in terms of where their priorities lie at the moment, Crystal Palace, Brentford, you know, these are all teams that, quite frankly, if you want to stay in this league, wins simply have to come by. And right now, sitting here, are you A, confident that we're able to bring out a couple of those results against the teams you've got in front here? And not to put too much pressure on you, but has today done anything to change your mind about where you see the future of Everton in terms of staying in this league?
It has. I don't know if it's just the sort of the emotion after the game and the good feeling after the game, because this team still, it's not really capable of putting two results together or two performances together back to back. I'm just looking at our results then, so it's like Burnley 3-2, United 1-0, 1-1 against Leicester, that's alright, 2-0 Liverpool, 1-0 Chelsea, so the results are still very sort of scattered and there's no real consistency. But after that, I think after the way we played in the derby, the way we played against Man United, the way we played against Chelsea, you know, to get 6 points out of that, we'd have been happy with that, more than happy with that. And then to get a point out of Leicester as well, that is a good run of points. And you look at these games coming up, and it's, we've got to be looking at getting something from Leicester. As you said, you know, they have got bigger priorities than this. I showed today, did you get your smash match first today?
Yeah, well, it was 3 last time I saw it, so yeah. They're definitely on the beach as far as a league perspective, aren't they?
Exactly, yes. So, you know, we've got to be looking at games like that. Watford showed yesterday, they absolutely battered Burnley in that first half. And then just collapsed in the second, 5 second half minutes. So we've got to be looking at these games and going in with confidence now. I don't think there's any room for any of us to be pessimistic.
No.
Because it's still in our hands. I think, as Keith said before, had we lost this, it's then out of our hands.
Yeah.
But we didn't. We did it. And I think we've all just got to take that confidence into every game now. And even if we do get a setback, even if we get beat at Leicester, you know, it's not the end of the world, because we've got Palace and we've got Brentford at home. They're the key games for us.
Yeah.
And if we get the crowd up like we did today and we play like we did today, we just got to approach every game like that. The crowd, the players, everything. All come together as one and we'll be sound.
I think that's probably one of the most pleasing things for me today, is that we put aside all of our disappointment from the derby, you know, seeing Burnley get results. I think we've all finally realised, purely out of necessity, that there's nothing more stupid in this sport than dwelling on games that are in the past. And I know it's exhausting to have that kind of throwaway attitude to previous matches, because obviously you need to learn lessons from them. But the old cliche of focusing simply on the next match is a philosophy that Everton have adopted very quickly, and it's very much to their benefit. And you know, we looked at this a few weeks ago as being one of the tougher run-ins of all the teams that were down there. three games and 6 points later, we're now looking at our phones and looking at the fixtures that are on them, thinking we've got a massive chance to save ourselves here. You know, we spoke about Burnley before the game as they know what's ahead of them, and they've just gone out and done the things that they absolutely needed to do. And there was question marks about Everton were able to do that, but if they're able to keep on with the form that we've seen today, I don't think we'll have any problems. Much brighter days to come, we all hope. That was your post-match. That was Everton today. I think we're all agreed, and that is absolutely what this football club needs to be. And let's hope we're having more of these jubilant days over the next few games. Thanks very much for listening, and on to Leicester.
In a tiny apartment in Southern California, two college dropouts teamed up to start a watch brand that broke all the rules. With clean, innovative designs, unexpected colors, and unbeatable value, Movement became the fastest-growing watch brand in the world. Every bold, modern design is dreamed up at Movement's California headquarters. And now, everything is on sale for their 9th birthday celebration. You can save big with 25% discounts on watches, jewelry, sunnies, blue light eyewear, and more lifestyle essentials. And for the first time this year, Movement's best-selling, innovatively made ceramic watches are on sale too. Elevate your own look or give someone an amazing gift that won't break the bank, but looks like it did. There's never been a better time to join the Movement. Get the best prices of the year with Movement's site-wide 25% off anniversary sale and enjoy free shipping, free returns, and a 2-year guarantee on everything they make. Just go to MVMT.com. That's MVMT.com.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.